Welcome to another episode of Imperial Senate Podcast. I'm hosting today, so buckle up. My name is Kristen Bates. Also joining me is Charlie Ashby, Nikki, and Claire. How's it going, gains?
We're What's up? Good.
So great.
Happy American Thanksgiving.
Oh, happy American Thanksgiving so to all close. Of you.
I'm so excited.
Happy Life Day.
Happy Life Day. That's right.
We're actually recording on Life Day.
Yeah, that's right. So I'm officially on Thanksgiving break from grad school. Ooh. Hashtag blessed. Nikki is somewhat on Thanksgiving break. We don't know. Claire,
Charlie? I get like half a week off.
Nice. All there right.
There is no break. There's only Zool.
All right. Anything exciting happening in our lives right now that the world needs to know?
Great. The other day.
Crickets.
That's lovely.
That's how All we right. do it.
Let's get started. So officially, breaking news is we have some new Galaxy Edge content that was released. John Williams is writing a score for Galaxy's Edge. Has anybody had a chance to listen to it? What are your thoughts on it?
Yes, oh, I have. Good. It's so good.
I got chills, and they're multiplying.
Well, what I definitely lost babe. Control.
That electrifying.
Oh my gosh. And then we got some new pictures and some inside looks of what we can expect from Galaxy's Edge in terms of sort of the games and the hotels that we can stay at. And it's opening next summer, right?
Yeah, it's so. Opening at Disneyland in California. Galaxy's Edge is opening in the summer, and the one at Hollywood Studios in Florida is opening next fall. That's what they said, which is exciting.
So just add it to the student loan tab. Just throw it in there.
Definitely.
It never ends, that tab.
Just keeps piling up. It's great.
It's my favorite tab.
I keep it open for all my stuff.
Oh my God. I'm going to die poor.
Hashtag America.
Oh my Lord.
So outside of being crushed by student loan debt, what are your thoughts on this new Galaxy's Edge content?
I mean, speaking about the theme itself, I just really like the idea that we've got this nice, cool little John Williams theme. I mean, obviously he's very old now, and you know, people worry about, oh, well, John Williams, how many more films would he do? Which to me is a bit like, you know, probably not the highest of my concerns, considering that he is a human being and that his welfare and being means more to me than the film score. But this gives him a chance to sort of live on forever, in a sense. You know, like these Disney parks are going to be pretty big stuff. And the score itself is really cool. It reminded me of elements of Return of the Jedi and Revenge of the Sith as well, actually. Like there's a part of that score that seems like the Utapau music, which I don't know if you know.
Yeah, I know it. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and that it just gave me the chills. It gave me the those. I just felt like a kid again, which is cool. And I guess that's how you're going to feel when you get to go on the Millennium Falcon and do all that stuff.
John Williams just has like such a sexy way of combining the original trilogy soundtrack with the prequel trilogy soundtrack and just turning it into something new. And it's like when I was listening to it, I did pick up on those elements as well. And I just, you know, I was blown away with how he can think of something like as creative and as, you know, deep as that in such a short amount of time. I'm assuming he only had like a few years or so to kind of get this together. So it just blows my mind because I don't know if Disney came up to me and said, hey, can you create an entire like orchestra related soundtrack to this theme park, I would probably still have a blank piece of paper in front of me.
I'm with you.
To be fair though as well, is that you're not an orchestra person, so
it is his job.
Oh my god. I played the saxophone for 6 years. I think I can compose a beautiful Kristen, orchestra piece. Thank you very much.
Please demonstrate what it would sound like your saxophone piece.
With my saxophone piece, yeah, like
do it with your mouth. Do a sound. How would it sound?
Insert careless whisper.
That's yeah. I feel like anything with careless whisper in it. That's going to be what I'm going to use. Or yakety sax.
There you go.
Oh my god.
That's a vibe.
Yep, that's a big Star Wars vibe right there.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. You know what I'm most excited about Galaxy's Edge? I can't wait to hear the story of the first person to ruin it. Like some kid or some like really drunk adult throwing up on the Millennium Falcon ride. And then some attendee dressed as a Jawa is sitting there having to like wipe it up. That's gonna be the reality of Galaxy's Edge. Not trying to you know help or hurt people's image of what's gonna happen, but the reality is there's gonna be a lot of shitty people there. They're gonna be kids throwing up. They're gonna be drinking too much Jawa juice.
Right. This is why we need to wait. Like I'm probably not gonna go during the summer when it first opens because I want like it's kind of like an iPhone update. You know, when you get the new iPhone, you don't get it right away so that they have time to work out the kinks and everything. And then you can come in like a year or so later when everything's been revamped and updated and you're like, okay, yeah, now this is perfect. Because
gotta
you're
get
right.
That 0.03 version.
Yeah, exactly. Like you're right. Some idiot kid is gonna walk into the Millennium Falcon. And it's just going to take this massive shit all over the cockpit.
All over.
Explosive diarrhea everywhere.
Yakety sack all over the console.
I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that on my Star Wars.
Oh my God.
So yeah, I absolutely agree with you. I'm waiting to see whose child is going to like just destroy everything, and then that's going to be the family's legacy. That's going to be the discussion at Thanksgiving. Hey, remember when your child Harriet had massive diarrhea all over the Millennium Falcon and nobody could be on that ride until the hazmat team was done cleaning up everything and it took an entire year? Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
It's a good thing that the interior of the Falcon, judging by this like flyover video and like the behind the scenes video, it's a good thing that the inside is like OT and like sequel trilogy distressed Falcon. Otherwise, those stains are going to be way more prominent on Lando's Falcon.
It's just going to add to the character of the Falcon. Some kids, like, you know, sometimes when you go into the bathroom and there's like boogers wiped all over the wall.
Oh my God.
Like that's going to be what happens when you step inside the Millennium Falcon. It's you're going to think it's going to be part of the aesthetic, but in reality, some kid just picked like a massive green booger and they didn't want to eat it, so they're just going to smear it all over the wall.
You know, people wonder how Han and Chewie got the Falcon to look so bad after getting it from Lando. Maybe this is an in-universe explanation and they spent, you know, a couple of years just running it out, taking kids on rides.
Shitting themselves.
The kids destroyed that shit. from the inside, and they're like, "We gotta find a more, honest line of work here. Let's get back to smuggling."
I really want
to be really interested to see who's gonna have to run a black light through all of that. Galaxy's Edge, everybody, go visit.
Be pumped!
Now we've come. I really want Walt Disney World to sort of just hire the actors and like get the people, everyone involved. They have to think about this way ahead. So we have like Jim Cummings voice for the Hondo actor, like talking about the diarrhea. Oh no! One of our pirates has shit themselves.
Quick, we need you to help us clean it up.
All the park announcements are just like James Arnold Taylor.
I believe he's wet the bed.
Ooh, you know what I'm really excited about? I'm excited about the hotels and the drinks.
Yes.
If they'll do alcoholic Star Wars related beverages, like I would love to get Star Wars drunk. Like that is what I want for my life. And after that, it's all downhill from there, but I just want to get Star Wars.
Well,
drunk.
You can definitely do that in the cantina at Galaxy's Edge for sure. And if they don't have like a cantina in that hotel, they are wrong. They are missing out.
Yeah. If I don't walk in and the cantina song is not playing on repeat, is it really Galaxy's Edge? I don't think so.
I don't either. But did you see
the nice Qui-Gon gin and tonic?
Oh my God.
But did you see that there's more information on the hotel in the article? There was like those photos of apparently when you get there, you enter a shuttle pod that blasts off and transports you away from Earth to your kick-ass space hotel. And that's how you get to the Star Wars hotel. And it sounds so cute. And I want
I am so turned off.
I would honestly,
right now.
I know it's like, I know it's for children. I know I'm actually not blasting off into space. But if I was there, I would start probably crying. Just being like, I'm so excited.
The kids are looking at you like, what is going on with this hysterical woman? You're like, shut up. Shut up and let me have this.
Mommy, I want to go home. I've
been waiting my whole life for this.
We can't all go to Galaxy's Edge at the same time.
Claire's escorted out by stormtroopers.
I feel like I'm going to enter the cantina and Kristen's going to be pissed, just screaming, who wants dev sticks?
I'm going to be doing some karaoke songs. Like, you're going to walk in and you're going to hear this really awful rendition of Piano Man. And you're going to be like, what the hell? And you're going to turn to your right. And I have taken over the stage and everyone's just not enjoying themselves.
You're like lying across Max Rebo's piano.
No, it has to be Star Wars related, so you have to go.
Oh my Lord. Who wants to do it?
All six of my tits out. Just.
Yeah.
Tits out for Max Rebo. Galaxy's Edge, everybody.
I don't have tits out in America. I think.
Oh my God.
They didn't put this in the Bresnikan article.
Breaking news.
They didn't want to. They were too afraid of real news.
Right. Tits out for sure.
I would know. I'm a journalist.
John Williams.
Take that.
Has scored Kristen's nipples.
It's very uplifting riffing up there.
The nipple song. Yeah, it'd be great.
I really loved that. I felt like I was going on an adventure with that, right, Charlie?
Like, I was really inspired by E.T. when I was crafting this theme.
All right, new hashtag. Hashtag tits out for Galaxy's Edge.
I'm tweeting that now.
Yes. Oh, man. Anyway, Galaxy's Edge is going to open sometime in the summer for one of the Disney parks and sometime in fall for the other Disney park. So get pumped.
Yeah.
Yeah. In other Star Wars related news, we have some more casting announcements for the Mandalorian series. My boy, the love of my life, Pedro Pascal, has been announced. I love that we are getting a standalone with Diego Luna's Cassian Andor. And now we have Pedro Pascal in the Star Wars Mandalorian series. All we need now is Rufus Sewell. I'm just saying. I'm throwing that out there. catch it if you want to. It's going to be hanging out. No big deal. I'll pitch it again. And then also Gina Carano is going to be cast into The Mandalorian. So what are your thoughts on Pedro and Gina joining the Star Wars universe?
So, yes please. I'm not super familiar with Gina with her acting work, other than I saw her as Angel Dust in Deadpool, where she did some super, super awesome fight scenes. And then I realized that she was a freaking fighter and was once the face of women's MMA. And at the time, she had a fight with a woman named Chris Cyborg, which that's such a badass like MMA name. Holy cow. And it was the first time that two women headlined at a major MMA event. And it was the highest rated fight in Showtime history at the time. So she's a literal badass in every freaking way. And her fight sequences in The Mandalorian, I hope she has some sort of action role, and I assume she will. They're going to be so good. Oh my God.
Yes. Such a badass. Do you think that Pedro is going to have a huge role in the Mandalorian series? Do you think he's going to be, I guess, your typical good guy or a bad guy? Like, what are your thoughts on that?
I hope he's the lead.
I think they alluded to him being the lead.
That's what I heard too, but, you know, we don't know.
They could be full of it.
Could be.
There's a variety.
I just want him to have a moment where he's fighting somebody, and spoilers for those of you who are not caught up on Game of Thrones, like, I want him to crush like this person's skull underneath him, and just to have that, oh yes, he did what was done to him in Game of Thrones, full circle.
As long as he stays away from all the mountain landscapes, he'll be fine. No mountains.
Stay away from the mountains, Pedro.
I want him to have a cowboy hat like Kingsman.
Oh my gosh, I loved him in the Kingsman. Like that was, it wasn't as good as like the first one, but I still thoroughly enjoyed it.
There was something about him in a cowboy hat with a lasso that did very, very interesting things for me hormonally, but that's fine.
He grew a mustache.
Yeah.
You had to like turn off the movie and just kind of sit there for a while and just kind of regain yourself.
I needed to.
I get it.
I needed to get my composure back. That was a little too much. But we're
good. The whole theater stopped just for Claire.
No. I'm fine. I swear I'm fine.
And also he's going to be in the new Wonder Woman 1984 film. So he's hopping and bopping. He's a man about
and
town
he's
right
got
now.
This,
he's also going to be in my dreams.
Already there.
Get in line, Nikki.
And he'll be crushing something else in those dreams. Am I right, Nikki?
Sex joke.
Oh my God.
So what's your speculation on what we can expect from the Mandalorian series? I mean, I know we've talked about this before. Are you hoping that there's going to be some type of like Fett lineage in there, or do you want something kind of new and unique?
It's going to be dark and gritty.
I want to see the story of Terry Fett. Of his uncle.
Terry Fett and his twin Toby
Fett.
Yeah,
Terry and Toby.
Oh, Tobes.
This show is fantastic.
But everyone hates Toby Fett.
Oh, he's the worst.
Okay. Pitch The Office with
yes.
Mandalorian.
Oh,
that'd be awesome.
Oh my God.
Meredith is Bo-Katan.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Hashtag tits out for guys.
Tits out. Oh God.
Yeah, I mean, for this series, I'm not sure. I don't know if I want anything in particular. I just feel like it's gonna be good whatever comes out, just seeing who's behind it. Yeah, like I feel like it's gonna have a sort of Western vibe just because of the notion of a gunslinger out in the unruly parts of the galaxy. But apart from that, I almost don't really know what to expect. I don't even know what I want. I just feel like some good stuff is ahead.
I think for me personally, the thing I love about it the most is the idea that it's going to be set post Return of the Jedi. And it's our first live action look at that sort of time period.
Yeah.
As in like not TFA type of time. And
have you seen The Force Awakens?
Let me point you to a new series of movies that have come out. Awakens and its sequel, The Last Jedi.
It'll be 2012.
its place in the timeline might surprise you.
I really love there's something to be said about those original Stormtrooper designs. And I think one of the reasons why I love Rogue One and Solo so much is we get to see those sort of era design and like Stormtroopers, and the fact that we've seen those Stormtroopers on set makes me excited. And it's the idea of the Empire but at this like weak point for the first time on screen. It's interesting to me. I'm excited about that. I think it was Making Star Wars as well that posted pictures of potentially Death Troopers on set. So
well, they're like filming in his backyard.
I believe, yeah, they're filming in his house.
he just wakes up, stretches, and sees Taika Waititi
making breakfast,
like walking around. Yeah.
I'm actually really excited about Taika Waititi's episode that he's going to be directing. Like, I'm a huge fan of his work. Thor Ragnarok was incredible. What We Do in the Shadows is great. Side note: this is now a What We Do in the Shadows podcast. Welcome, everybody. I'm very excited about series that Taika Waititi is going to be a part of.
Hashtag
with What We Do in the Shadows.
Hashtag dead and delicious.
So, hashtag tits out for What We Do in the Shadows.
Tits out for the werewolves.
For the werewolves.
I really want Matt Berry in Star Wars as well. Like, out of context.
Oh my gosh, give Matt Berry every role.
Hello
there, Star
Stormtroopers.
It's me,
it's
your
me,
boy.
Your boy.
Oh my god. Like, so I'm just excited, you know, with I love humor in Star Wars. Like, in the serious moments when there's like a wisecrack or something, that's like my favorite aspect of Star Wars. And that's why I'm really particular towards The Last Jedi, because I mean, and I was just watching this the other day, so it's fresh in my mind, but when Poe Dameron is talking to General Hux, like on the cusp of some life-threatening issue, like he has this dreadnought that can just wipe out the entire resistance with the snap of his fingers. And then you just hear Poe Dameron going, "Hey, I'm trying to reach General Hux." And it's like this serious, awful moment that's about to happen. And then there's just this underlying humor underneath it. And Taika, like he has mastered that art. So I'm just super excited for the episode or episodes that he's going to be a part of with this series.
I think it was reported that he's doing the finale.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't he directing every episode ever?
I believe that they have different people to direct the episodes.
Correct. Just fire them.
Reshoot the whole
fire
thing.
Fire them, Charlie.
Dave Filoni crying in the corner.
Dave Filoni would understand. He would understand.
I bought this new hat for nothing.
He has a hat for each episode he works on.
Of course. He's introduced wolves and
something. Oh my god.
My name is Terry Wolf. Terry Wolf. This is my brother Toby Wolf.
Terry Toby Wolf causing destruction in the Mandalorians.
Are they like our version of Tag and Bink? It's Terry and Toby.
I guess so. I guess this is our thing now. Welcome, everybody. We've all made a new thing together, and we have to live with it. Just
be
deal
moist.
With it. It is what it is.
This is us now.
So with all this excitement, we are recording on the anniversary of Life Day. For the Star Wars Holiday Special. So happy Life Day to everybody. Happy belated Life Day once you start listening to this. I'm assuming you guys have seen the Star Wars Holiday Special.
I have not.
Right.
I've not seen it.
I know someone who hasn't.
No one's seen it.
I have.
Okay. All right. So Claire, Nikki, see you guys later. Just kidding.
Would now be a good time to announce that we are going to plan to do a.
That would be a perfect time because that's going to be my first time watching it too. You can hear my pure reactions.
Oh my god! Hashtag tits out for life day. All right, write that down. That's going to be our hashtag for our commentary. Sometime in the near future, probably before Christmas, maybe.
It's our Christmas special.
Oh, it is going to be a Christmas special?
Yes.
We are great at planning, guys. we will announce it, I promise. We're going to do a commentary for the holiday special. We'll give you some more information sometime.
After.
right after we do the commentary.
It'll definitely be a day of joy we can all share together joyously.
It's going to be beautiful.
The beautiful lyrics of Leia.
And Chewbacca's son just
Lumpy,
just giving us the love that we need.
Hashtag canon Lumpy. Lumpy.
Hashtag tits out for Lumpy.
Oh my God.
So be expecting that. For the most part, everyone here is caught up with Resistance except for Charlie. Charlie, what has been your thoughts so far with this TV series?
Okay, I've only watched 2 episodes, but I really like the show. It's just fun. Like, I love Oscar Isaac. Like, you can tell when someone's phoning.
You can end the sentence there and we understand.
my opinion is Oscar Isaac. You can tell when someone's phoning it in. And I think that the fact that he's actually on the show says a lot. The fact that he's putting so much effort in as well is pretty cool.
Wait. How can you tell when someone's phoning it in? I need examples.
Like if Oscar Isaac went, okay, we need to blow up the Death Star. Okay, let's go. throw the thermodetonator. Or like he's only in there for 5 minutes. Like you can tell when someone's phoning it in. Is it just me or...
I mean, I was pretty crushed when I think I was listening to a panel when Jason Isaacs was doing his character for Star Wars Rebels in the first season. And he said that he didn't record with any of the cast. And like he did it all in like a few days. And so he doesn't really remember that much of it because he played the Sith Inquisitor. And I was really crushed to hear about that. So that was sort of like my first experience with that. So it is nice that, you know, Oscar Isaac is a part of this, even though, yeah, it's a cheesy children's show, you know, on Disney, but you know, to other people, to other kids, it's so much more. And so for Oscar Isaac to, you know, be a part of that in real time, that's really cool.
I mean, it's like Battlefront as well, though. It's so easy to get people and voice actors to do an impression of them. Because sometimes you don't want to do that. It's like with Tom Hanks, you know, like all the Woody merchandise isn't right. Tom Hanks doing the voice.
Mm.
It's his brother, which I think is cool. So like all the video games and stuff, it's not Tom Hanks putting in the time to do it.
Tom Hanks, Isaac. You selfish bastard.
I know Tom Hanks is the fucking worst. This
is the literal worst.
I like Ty Bros.
I absolutely despise Tom Hanks. Like, ugh.
Can I just say, if Tom Hanks is listening, okay, I very much doubt, I love you. Don't listen to us. We're lying.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
But Tim Allen's a prick. Go on.
Tim Allen's a fucking prick. Tim, the tool man asshole, more like.
How
got
did we
him.
Get here?
Chalk it up.
Yeah.
Chalk it up. I think you're need only some... Tim Allen.
I feel like your home needs improvement.
Gotti.
Galaxy Quest.
Hey, listen, Galaxy Quest is an iconic movie.
I love Galaxy Quest.
It's so great. Okay, this is now a Galaxy Quest podcast.
Yeah.
It's so great. It's just like such a perfect riff on like the Star Wars films, and I know it's primarily based on Star Trek, but you can get the Star Wars nuances with it. And
if you work really hard enough, you can make it into a prequel to the TV show Monk.
Monk, oh my gosh, what an iconic show. I love that show so much.
It's a jungle out there.
It's a jungle out there, guys. It's a jungle out there.
We just made two Randy Newman references within 10 minutes.
Like
Toy Story and Monk.
Like, what are we even doing? Like, we're so good at this. I wonder if there are any celebrities that listen to our podcast. Rufus, if you're out there, I interviewed you at New York Comic Con.
Daniel Kennedy.
It's out for Randy Newman.
He's a celebrity in my heart.
Oh.
Ooh. Was that a kiss or a slurpy noise? I was very confused.
That was a kiss, but if you want slurpy noises, if I get a free press pass.
Do anything for a free press pass.
Cut that out. Tits out for the press pass.
Tits out for Daniel.
We're a bunch of sluts here at Imperial Senate Podcast. Sluts for Star Wars. And Tony Shalhoub. Speaking of Star Wars Battlefront, it's hit its 1 year anniversary a few days ago.
Woohoo!
Yay! So like revisiting that experience, I mean, what were your thoughts on like playing through the campaign and sort of the updates that Battlefront 2 has gone through? We can play as General Grievous and then we can play as like clone troopers. I think in the future we are going to be able to play as Padme. So like all these updates from where it first began, like what has been sort of your thoughts while playing through Battlefront 2 over the past year? Don't everyone speak at once.
That involves having played Battlefront 2 for the past
year. Okay, who here has played Star Wars Battlefront 2?
I did. I played the campaign.
Okay. So let's talk about the campaign.
Yes.
Sort of like what your feelings are on it, sort of going back in time, if you will. This campaign came out before The Last Jedi. It was setting us up really nicely for what was to come. What were your thoughts? Walk me through it.
Oh, man. I think it got really fun when you make that switch to the Rebellion and you start fighting on Naboo. Mm. You start fighting on Jakku.
Mm.
And it's just like, oh, man, all this like post-Return of the Jedi shit is... is getting my tits out and whatnot. And
what's going on?
I think that was like a really cool part of the story. And I also really liked the expansion where you sort of jump into the Resistance era.
Yeah, that's
nice,
right.
Nice little Force Awakens, Last Jedi tie-in going on.
Yeah, and when Iden was the one that was able to get that intel for the Dreadnought. That set us up really nicely for the events of The Last Jedi. So when you're watching the film and you've played this campaign, you can, when it starts, you have this dreadnought that pops up, but the Resistance is prepared and they're evacuating. And it's just sort of like a nice like recollection of, oh, there's a story behind how that happened. And I know there are people out there going, oh, there doesn't have to be a story for everything, but I love it and I appreciate it. And
yeah, it's also nice because
iconic.
Right. And it's nice because the way that little section ends sets up a lot for, you know, the post Last Jedi era, because, you know, they get sent by Leia to see the sort of allies in the Outer Rim who don't show up on Crate.
Yeah,
they do.
I want to know why.
Way to step up, not.
I have to say as well,
sure.
I love the character of Zay, or as I call it, Uwochisei. I feel like there's so much game, like there's so much story you can tell in the next game if they were to make one. And I feel like if they do make the next game, I don't know if you guys play games regularly, but they just announced the Game of the Year candidates. And all of them were single player games. Who would have thought it? It's almost like story's better than that. So it's funny, like, stories being better than being called some sort of Mook Milker online.
I'm very curious to see if Battlefront 2 is going to add to its campaign after Episode 9, or if before Episode 9 gets released, we'll get sort of like an updated, like short, maybe like 5-hour campaign that will set up for 9, and then something will release after
on that
Episode
front,
9
my guess
comes
is
out.
Probably if we did get, I feel like I could see us getting another like expansion, another mission to go on. I don't see it being that long since the original, then since the campaign of Battlefront 2 was only like, what, 7 hours in its entirety? It would be like a whole other game. It was pretty short.
It was less than that.
I played it in one sitting. but I really hope they do, because that would be juicy. Also, I need to know what my boy Shriv is up to, because he's the greatest thing that has ever freaking happened to
yes.
me.
Yes.
Shriv.
Tits out for Shriv every
tits
day
out for Shriv.
Of my life.
Every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We're talking Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Tits out.
Every day that ends with why.
We out here with our tits flopping in the wind for Shriv.
Scored by John Williams.
Blue. Scored by John Williams.
The blue of those striking red nipples.
Ugh. Gets me every time. I'm getting choked up now. I'm fine. I would really love to see more Shriv and Zay content.
Ooh, what you say?
So, Mitch, do what you gotta do. Write those stories. I will play the shit out of them. You bet. You bet I will.
Your bottom dollar.
You bet your bottom dollar.
I mean,
or
if we're talking about,
as Charlie said, bottom.
Bottom dollar. Governor. Governor Tarkin. I thought I smelt your stench as I was both on board.
That was really good.
I'm good at doing British accents, apparently. Anyway.
Who'd have thought?
Who'd have thought? If we're talking about Battlefront in general, like, I just haven't had time to play it that much, and obviously other games have been out recently, and I really want to get onto the Grievous stuff. I'm terrible ever since Solo and stuff came out, and you had to get all these characters. I can't get the points. Because after, like, a match, I get annoyed to log off for about 4 months. So I'd love to play as Grievous when I rack up the points, which I assume would be by the time episode 10 comes out. But it's pretty cool. I like that. I do like the fact that we're getting Geonosis, which I love that map on the original Battlefront and Battlefront 2. The thing I'd like to see more, if they were going to do it and expand a bit more, I wonder how hard it is to just import maps from the previous game. Because I really did love that Scarif map.
Oh, that Scarif map was so cool.
And the Death Star one as well, actually. Like, both of those were really cool to play in. Like, do the trench run. I feel like the trench run with the new gameplay mechanics for Battlefront 2 would just be perfection. And it's a shame that they,
chef kiss.
It's a shame that they didn't just introduce that into this game. I feel like with Battlefront 1... Battlefront 2, the original games, they just put those maps onto the next one. But you know, I can understand if it's too expensive, whatever, but I'd like to see that potentially. I don't know whether the time scale, I know it was 2015 to 2016 was Battlefront 1. Battlefront 2 obviously has got a longer lifespan, but I wonder how they're going to be doing, like, is there going to be a Battlefront 3? One would imagine if they were, it would be announced a celebration, would that be?
Yeah, because that's when that's when they shared.
But they seem to be one...
like the first trailer. Well, officially, it had leaked, but and that's when they shared who was writing it and all that nonsense was at Celebration in Orlando. So that would make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like it wouldn't make. I remember sense. The past two being panels.
I feel like it wouldn't make sense to do like a Battlefront 3 because you already have this such great content for Battlefront 2. You already have this campaign that can be added on. You know, there's the whole thing with Battlefront. The first one, the big complaint was that there wasn't a campaign. And I don't think that they had like the ability to import a campaign into the first Battlefront. So I really think that Battlefront 2... this was like the way of rectifying that and introducing a campaign. So I mean, with Battlefront 3, they would have to do something even more like beyond than what Battlefront 2 has done. But with all these updates that keep on happening with Battlefront 2, like, there's still promised updates within the next few months to a year, I believe, with like new heroes you can play and potentially new maps. So it just wouldn't make sense if we have all of these updates coming for Battlefront 2, and then during Star Wars Celebration or even later, they say, hey, here's Battlefront 3, get hyped.
Okay, so I've got two answers to that, okay? The first one is that with the first Battlefront, we were still receiving updates for Battlefront 1 while they were writing Battlefront 2 and programming it. So,
true.
Rogue One was, what, December? And then Battlefront 2 was announced in April, if I'm right? Right? 2016, December, and then...
I think so. That sounds about right.
April 2017. And my second one would be it's EA, and that they'd sell you like a piece of shit with Star Wars attached to it. if it got money for them,
sure.
Like, not in a horrible way, true. You know, it's, I feel like, because updates cost, I have so much data attached to them, like, I think Battlefront 2 is like the highest amount of,
it's insanely data on my PS4. Large, it's
like half of it goes to
Battlefront. It has no business being that
exactly.
big. Sorry, I'm salty about that.
It's true. It's like, I understand why there was mistakes and it was rushed and certain things. But at the same time, like, if you were to do Battlefront 3, how hard would it be to just put those bits of information onto a new disc with a new storyline? I don't know. I'm not a game developer. So.
But wouldn't, like, if they did that, then wouldn't that just add more, like, downloading data to Battlefront 3? And then we'd be right back where we were at Battlefront 2 with taking up so much download space?
I don't know, actually.
Did you think about that, Charlie?
Oh, fuck, my world has been crumbled. I've been destroyed. I don't know. I don't know how that.
You're not a real Star Wars fan if you didn't think about that, Charlie.
Tits out for fake fans.
Fake fan.
Fine, I'm not.
Tits out for fake fans.
At this point, there's no point just getting them out. Just leave them out.
Just leave them out. Be free.
Don't waste the time of putting them back in.
Yeah, because you're going to have to flop them out probably in the next couple of seconds.
Hashtag leave them Becky tits out goodness. For Star Wars.
Speaking of Star Wars.
Speaking of baggy tits.
We do have to call out one of our listeners, William. He bought a mug that we sell.
I'm so glad you asked. You can get some pretty sweet swag from us on tpublic.com/user/ the Imperial Senate Podcast. That voice hurt.
Damn. William typed that into his URL interwebs, and he was able to find a mug that we are currently selling. And he has a picture of it. We've obviously retweeted it, obviously. And it's him holding a moist mug, and he was able to do it in GIF format, which super impressive. So you can definitely get that. Christmas is around the corner. Perfect mug for your family. relatively affordable. You're going home for the holidays. You're like, shit, I'm broke. I don't have any money. I didn't get my parents anything.
Poor kids.
Buy them a moist mug. They'll love it. Speaking of moist, our moist segment is coming in where we talk about something that has made us moist in Star Wars this week. So, guys, what has made you moist this week? Also, William's Twitter handle is at Sir Darth Uno. And
he's a good guy.
Yeah.
I'd also mention quickly.
He's a beautiful man.
Do what?
We do stuff on there as well.
That's right. Check out other stuff, but especially that moist mug, because it will make you moist. All right, guys, what has made you moist in Star Wars this week?
Wow. Okay, so I'll throw some out. One thing that made me moist in Star Wars this week actually happened this very morning.
I woke up.
Hey, morning. Wow. Morning moisture is the best type of moisture.
Ooh.
You may want to get that checked.
But, oh God. Okay, so with the EW article by the lovely Brez, it was the lovely moist Brez.
Moist.
There was a We learned a little bit more about two of the different rides on there, the Smuggler's Run, the Millennium Falcon ride, and Rise of the Resistance. And so they had like short little videos, like a minute-ish long. And apparently in the article, the one for the Rise of the Resistance ride, it is literally, it looks like you're watching a Star Wars movie. It's got the inside of a First Order cruiser of some sort, and there's like cute little droids going around, and there's stormtroopers and command bridge. That was shot inside the actual ride. And it looks like you're in a freaking First Order dreadnought. And watching that and putting myself next to that sweet little mouse droid that's like buzzing along, I needed to take a moment and pause. So that's what made me moist, is I cannot wait to go and chill on the Rise of the Resistance ride because it looks amazing.
Nikki, what made you moist with Star Wars this week?
Oh, man. I got to quickly piggyback off what Claire said. And in that Rise of the Resistance clip.
A little damp.
It's just a little, little dampness. This isn't quite moist yet, but it's still damp. So, yeah, in that Rise of the Resistance video, you see, like, a Resistance fleet come in. Aww. And there's a ship in there that looks a hell of a lot like Home One. And I was like, damn, that's some hot stuff there. But I'll have to save my ultimate moisture for the Red Viper himself, Oberyn Martell, Pedro Pascal. Coming to Star Wars, man. What a
Pedro.
Huge, huge amount of news. I mean, a lot of people... You know, I think his name's been thrown around often for several fans about, you know, seeing different people in Star Wars. And yeah, I just can't wait. He's a phenomenal actor, and he's going to bring some cool stuff to the Star Wars universe. What a time we live in.
I would like to piggyback off of Nikki. We got triple moisture threat here.
Practical Archie here. Oh.
Basically.
Pressure's on, Charlie.
Pedro Pascal's announcement into the Mandalorian series was my moistest Star Wars moment of the week, because I did follow him as Oberyn. He was one of my favorite characters. The representation that we're getting with the Mandalorian series is making me moist. Pedro's beautiful mustache. I hope he keeps that in the Mandalorian series. Like, I just want to look at it. His own mustache should be a character. Like, get that mustache.
We need space Burt Reynolds. Film.
So I'm pumped for that. That has made me the moistest. Charlie, what has made you moist for Star Wars this moist week?
So I don't know if it was necessarily this week, but I watched this week for the first time. I think it was a recent post. So Ali Plum from BBC Radio 1 does this really cool interview section where he gets movie stars and talks to them about different movies and how it's affected their life. And he spoke to Keira Knightley about The Phantom Menace, which was really cool. And she was talking about how she fell over and like how what it's like to be on set, how she forgot that she spoke to R2-D2 during the film. But more importantly, the thing that made me really moist was her doing a lightsaber noise, which I should play to you now.
You know, doing that. Which is
kind of
quite cool. You know, doing that.
There you go.
I love Keira Knightley so much.
Sabe for life. Tits out for Sabe.
Tits out for Sabe. Justice for Sabe. Lucasfilm, listen. Listen. Look and listen, Lucasfilm. Pitch. Star Wars movie about Sabe, and get Keira Knightley to reprise her role.
I want both. I'm not even joking. I would explode with moisture.
Oh, God.
Okay. Okay, listen here. This is going to make you wet as well.
Foaming at the mouth here.
Celebration. There he goes. Guess he's coming. And we're like, okay, who? Let me guess. Is it someone small? No, Natalie Portman. We're like, boom, I'm there. Okay? It's like, but not just Natalie Portman. You're like, excuse me? Excuse-moi? And it says, including Keira Knightley and Rose Byrne. Mic drop. Hashtag feel the burn 2019.
Feel the burn. I would love more than anything to see Natalie Portman at this celebration. Like, amazing. My queen. Love of my life. I would love that.
She's the only Skywalker I don't have an autograph from.
So, wow, Nikki, nobody likes
your
to
move,
show off,
Natalie.
Okay? Nobody likes
wow,
to show
I can't
off.
Believe move. You have an autograph from Adam Driver, Nikki.
He doesn't count.
Hashtag Ben Dimption.
He gave up that right.
He gave up that right.
He changed it by default.
All right, so with all of that, we're going to wrap things up over here on this fantastic episode. You can follow our podcast on Twitter at Imp Senate Pod. You can also follow us on Instagram at Imperial Senate Pod. You can like us on Facebook if you still have Facebook. And then, as was mentioned earlier, you can get some serious, sweet, moist swag from tpublic.com/user/TheImperialSenatePodcast. You can also become a Patreon on our Patreon page because we do really cool things. There we've got some new content coming up called After Dark Episodes and then a mini show called Databank Discussion Tangents, which we've released a couple of those, I think, for everybody to listen to if they want to, like, you know, dive deeper. And if you wanted to, you can hop on over to iTunes, give us a 5-star review, and in the comments, just put moist. That is your challenge. And as always, if you have any sweet, sexy fan art of Star Wars, feel free to send that our way. And where can we follow you guys on social media?
Crickets.
If anybody has social media. Charlie, where can we follow you on social media?
You can follow me on Twitter at CMWASHBY, where I talk about what do I talk about? Tits out. I talk about moisture. Yeah. I talk about moisture farmers quite often. you can also follow me on Instagram at CharlieMWASHBY. And that's about it.
Nikki, where can we find you on the social interwebs?
You can hit me up on Twitter at Nikuicious, NAQUICIOUS. Come over, say hi. We'll all be moist together.
We're in this together, guys. Claire, where can we find you?
You can find me on the Twitters and on the Instas at CStribs. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Respect. And you can find me on Twitter at Kristen K. Bates, where I usually rant about what's going on with grad school and Star Wars dank memes and making fun of Eric Geller. And you can also find me on Instagram under the same name at Kristen K. Bates, where I like to post beautiful pictures of things that are happening around me. As always, this podcast is dedicated to Rufus Sewell. Love you. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Imperial Senate Podcast. And the moist will always be with you. Remember that.
Bye.
Bye.
See you later there.
Is that going to be the last thing in the
year? See you later there.
I haven't stopped recording yet. Can this just be at the end?
Yeah, put it in after the end.
No, we need to end with the monk theme song.
Oh my God.
Can we do that? Yes. Here we go. Claire, you did your bit in the cowboy accent. That's why I ended off with a cowboy.
Oh my lordy. All right.
I feel like I should. Anyway, that's all for now, folks. If you want to hit us up, you can go to the stables.
On the Imperial Senate podcast. Oh, that was such a bad
one. It's a jungle out there.
I'll go get my lasso and I'll feed the cows the grain and the chickens the hay. Let's go hit.
Can you guys stop appropriating my culture?
It's my culture too, Nikki. Appropriate it. It deserves to be appropriated. My culture voted for Ted Cruz. Appropriate the fuck out of it.
Can we end off with the Ted Cruz theme song, please? Okay. Bye, guys.
Oh, God.
It's a jungle out there. Poison in the very air we breathe. You know what's in the water that you drink? Well, I do. It's amazing. People think I'm crazy because I worry all the time. If you paid attention, you'd be worried too. You better pay attention. All this world we love so much might just kill you. Because there's a jungle out there.
best jungle out there.